Welcome to Christian Guys Radio. Radio for, well, the Christian guy. Let's jump right in.
Welcome to Christian Guys. We are here again with Mike and Caleb and myself. I'm David. So we are glad that you joined us tonight, and we've got some good stuff coming up for you. And so we were talking earlier before we started recording about different topics that we wanted to cover. And there's one that kind of popped into my brain. I was listening to a podcast yesterday evening, I think it was. And I won't say which one it was. It's just had to do with a historical event that happened. And the question that popped into my head as a result of that is, it kind of tied in my brain in with the book of Esther in the Old Testament, where in one point, I believe it was Mordecai said, you know, were we put here for such a time as this? And so the podcast was talking about the Cold War and towards the end of the Cold War, where you had a confluence of personalities, where you had Reagan and Thatcher, and I forget who the other one was, but they were talking about these very strong personalities that just, if you wanted to put it this way, happened to have come together in that time and place in order to forward a particular event in history. And so the question in my mind was, you know, in our lives, what have we been put in this time and place, you know, for such a time as what? So as a kind of an example to kind of get the conversation flowing, this is a little bit, not exactly a silly thing, but it's not super important, but you'll get the idea once I tell it. There was a weekend where I was crashing at my folks' house. I'm single, so I was there for, it was like Thanksgiving weekend or something like that, so I was there. And in the middle of the night, my mom wakes me up, and she's in kind of a huff. And my dad had had a bad reaction to medication, and he had slumped over on the toilet, and she physically couldn't get him off, and she just wasn't strong enough to do that. And so, you know, for such a time as this, if I wouldn't have been there, she wouldn't have been able to physically move him so that, you know, what needed to be done could be done. And so I quote unquote, you know, scare quotes, I was there so that I could physically pull him off and we could do what we needed to do so that he could get the proper treatment and all of that. And so, you know, in your lives, what is something that, you know, God has put you in this time and place for such a time as insert?
Interesting. How far back, you know, I mean, I would think, how far back do we want to go? Because I've got several.
Oh, that's irrelevant. You can go back as far as you want.
You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of things. And I think, frankly, before we get too far into it, I think that there are a lot of these that we don't even realize. We don't realize that we were there at that time for that moment. We did whatever was necessary or whatever wasn't necessary. You know, what we didn't do the thing that was necessary to not be done. We blocked it, stopped it, whatever. And so I think that there's a, you know, something of that nature that we can find ourselves in as well. You know, trying to find a specific story, I can tell you one specifically. You know, we always talk about character, about faith always being built through the difficult times. It's not ever through the easy times. Your true character, the real measure of who you are, the proving of your mettle, if you will, comes in the challenges, not in the easy days and in the easy times. It's easy to smile and praise God and worship Him and sing His praises when things are going good. It's hard to do it when things are bad. And so we went through a season in our life where we found ourselves very abruptly out of work. I found myself out of a job And we had to very, very quickly begin to make ends meet. Thankfully, at that time, we did have a little baby, a little, oh, I guess, toddler, if you will. He was probably 1 and a half, something like that. But still basically on baby food and so nothing huge. But anyway, very difficult time. You know, we didn't understand, Lord, why are we going through this? All of those things. All of that to say, there was a situation where I had to find a new job, had to just start looking in the paper. And that, which is typically not my thing because I'm a pastor. So typically looking in the paper for jobs is not something pastors do. They tend to look at specialty places, things like that. So I found myself to needing an immediate job, looked in the paper, found an opportunity to be a manager of, given the experience I had as a pastor, of one of those unfortunate places called payday loan stores, the check cashing payday loan,
that 400% interest,
actually 391% interest per year. So I know you were joking, but yeah, it's actually 391%. Found myself as the manager of one of those places. I won't go into any more detail other than, we still didn't understand, praise the Lord, I had a job, but it was making $10 an hour as the manager, which is what I was making at my previous job. So that was at least good. However, I had to go train. Well, training was in, 4 towns away. So it was a good 45 minute drive one way to go training. And I had to do that for, oh golly, probably a month. That I had to, 3 weeks, something like that, that I had to go train with this other manager, so that I could learn not only the first level person, regular cashier's job, but I had to learn the manager's job. Well, through all of that, at that store where I was training, we met a young lady, a single mom who had a little boy struggling to make ends meet. I don't want to go too far into it. I'll end up with myself in tears, but very, very, very difficult situation for her. And she was making less than I was because I was a manager. She was just a first level employee and part-time at that. Through conversation, I lost my job in October. I started working there in November. End of October, beginning of November. So Christmas was coming. I was training around the Christmas holiday. And through conversation and just being around, she wasn't going to have Christmas. Her and her little boy, just they didn't have the money. They didn't have the resource. And so it gave a lot of opportunity to talk about God and talk about faith and trust. And she was a person of faith. She didn't have any and was not leaning on it. She had the background, the history, I always talk about it like this in our church, is that, you know, grandma took her to church, to Sunday school when she was a little girl, kind of a thing. Yeah. So she was familiar with church, familiar with faith, didn't deny it, but didn't practice it at all. So in all of that, I got an opportunity to witness to her, to lead her back to Christ. To share Christ with her, to pray with her numerous times. But ultimately, in the mess of what we were going through, we were able to provide Christmas for her and her little boy, Christmas gifts. I was able to call friends that I knew, and I said, listen, I can't tell you who or why, but I have a lady with a little boy that is not going to have Christmas this year. Is there anything you can do? And they literally filled my trunk up with toys, and gifts for this little boy and this mom. And so the impact that made, now I don't know where she is today. I don't know what life she's living. I don't know where the little boy is or what, but, the blessing that we were able to be to her through that time, was immeasurable. I mean, it just, and again, I have more stories. So, you know, if one of you has another story, by all means, you're welcome to share that. But I have, you know, being able to share Christ, all of mine have to do with sharing faith and sharing Christ. And, I do have one that, has to do with saving somebody's life. But anyway,
I got one. I mean, it won't be, as you know, heart wrenching, but this was maybe about 6 years ago.
So you're like four?
Five. Thank you. No, but, kind of thing, you know, before this event, I'm about to describe that. I was a, you know, churchgoer. I was a believer, but I guess I didn't really understand, you know, what it meant to be lost or to be, what it means to truly be saved and what, you know, immeasurable amount of grace that Christ can give. And about 5 years ago, I got a chance, well, when I say I mean, this, loving family who are, you know, close friends to our family now, I mean, for years now, you know, because of this, they offered to pay my way to go on a mission trip. And, even though it was still here in the U.S., it was still, you know, like $500. And we went down to this place called Mission of Hope. It's down in Alabama, kind of like right on the Alabama-Mississippi line, kind of out in the sticks. It has a bunch of these halfway houses and a little chapel, a dining hall, and like a few classrooms there. Well, what this place is, it's kind of like the last ditch effort, last stop for people suffering addictions from just about anything. Because people were sent there, they're usually told by a judge, you could either go here or you can go to prison.
Right. Okay.
And you have men, women, both. I mean, they have their own campuses, but... through this mission trip, we got to help them out. We got to lay down some new flooring that for one of the halfway houses. We got to, you know, do some painting both inside and outside. And then each evening, we were there for a week, and each evening we had a chapel service. And I never understood how beautiful the song Amazing Grace was until it was sung by a bunch of guys who hit rock bottom and yet came to saving faith in Christ.
Hmm. Good.
And, you know, it, from that day, I have like a different perspective in life. You know, when some people say, well, you know, this person's too far gone. I said, no. No, they're not.
You're a witness to those who truly embody the concept of a wretch.
Oh, yes. You know, these were people that, you know, through their addictions, they not only ruined their bodies, but ruined any relationship they might have had with family or friends or, you know, any loved ones. And yet they still... you know, came to Christ, you know, through this. And, I mean, I'll always remember this experience.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always, you know, those opportunities to, here at our church, we have to do worship with pre-recorded music. And so very often we'll play the official music video of the song, And there is a one of the songs that we do is the song Chainbreaker by his name's leaving me at this moment. As soon as I saw it, I'd know it. But we do that song, and one of the Zach Williams, and the version that we do is he's actually doing it live from Harding Prison. I don't know where Harding Prison is. I guess I could look it up. But as we're singing this song, Chainbreaker, if you have pain, if you have difficulty, if you've got, you know, if you're in bondage, God is the chainbreaker. And you're watching these men who are in prison, who are literally chained up, if you will, singing this song and worshiping God. And that mental picture when you're singing that kind of a song is incomparable. I mean, you realize the enormity of what we're singing.
Oh, right. I mean, it, you know, just with, you know, this experience of mine, I think a lot of church, you know, regular churchgoers don't get that same type of depth of emotion that these same guys had.
Right.
Who, well, they had nowhere else to go.
Right. If you've never been on the opposite side, you don't know what amazing grace is. If you've been so far that you don't understand how any kind of deity, much less the God of all creation, the God of the universe, could forgive you. You believe yourself to be unforgivable, to be unredeemable.
And the greatest of sinners, as Paul would say it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to be redeemed, to be renewed, to be saved. You know, we get dogged a lot as Christians for using Christianese. But the term saved, I hear that used as slang very often. You know, you doesn't take very long to listen to non-Christians and the word saved come up and they're like, oh, you're saved. Yeah. From what? And that's what they don't understand. They don't understand what it is that we're saved from. They don't understand that the Bible, because they've never read, they don't understand the lake of fire, the pit of hell, the eternal suffering, the damnation, the wanting to be thirsty and never being able to quench it.
No, that was the same revelation about drinking the full wine of God's wrath.
Absolutely. And so you when you have an opportunity to share and see somebody who gets it, and it just goes with the spoiled nature of us, in particular in the United States. Other countries are starting to unfortunately fall into it as well, but the privileged nature that we have and people not truly knowing
or even desiring.
Yeah. So it is an amazing thing when you do find yourself in the right place at the right time. To go back to what David said, the statement in Esther, for such a time as this, I'm going to share just a very quick cheesy story. We were all, and this may have been when David and I met, or somewhere there very close. In the Bible college, that David and I know each other from Bible college. And so in the Bible college that we went to, you weren't allowed to have televisions in your room. You had what was called a common room, a TV room, down at the end of the hall. It was this, it wasn't a huge room, but it was, oh, I don't know, office size. You know, it had a couch and a love seat and,
not for what, a dozen people maybe?
Yeah, dozen maybe or so. And back then, this will date you. You'll know roughly how old we are. But we were there was a show on, and of course, being good Christian children that we were, or young men and women, the show Touched by an Angel was on, and I still to this day love that show. Yes, I understand the theological difficulties with that show and some of the things that they did. I look past it. I look past all that stuff in all the cheesy Christian movies, but because of the story.
Say it ain't so.
But that being said, the song For Such a Time as This, there was an artist that did a song called For Such a Time as This. And I remember there was an episode where a little boy was given an opportunity to be part of missions. And it was the first time he was exposed to the plight, in particular in that episode, of those. It was either in Haiti or in one of the African countries. But it was African-American children, and seeing the hunger and the difficulty, the starvation, the poverty that those children and their families were going through. And he goes through and he has an opportunity to raise some funds. And of course, we're all sitting in the TV room, and we're starting to sing before it ever got to the end of the show. We're starting to sing this song, For Such a Time as This. And sure enough, as they close the episode, that's the song that they sing, that they play as kind of, you know, TV shows tend to go and have a closing music. Well, that was what they chose for that specific episode. And so it was rather interesting to be able to watch and see all that they did, even through that show, and showing that it doesn't take a lot to be somebody who can make yourself available for such a time as this.
And I think that's part of what kind of was going through my head when that question popped into my mind, is a lot of times, you know, we don't realize those times until, I don't want to say until it's too late, but until they, you know, they've passed and you're no longer in the middle of whatever that was. You know, we think now back to, for the sake of staying with the same example, to Reagan, to the Thatchers, to the Eisenhowers, to the Abraham Lincolns, and, you know, they were put there at that time and place. And I think a lot of times, you know, sometimes I know in the back of my brain, I don't know about you guys, I wonder sometimes, like, what am I here for? I mean, I make a good doorstop, but aside from that, you know, what are those For Such a Time as This moments that I missed? You know, maybe I stopped and helped somebody change a tire, or, you know, gave somebody gas money, or whatever the case may be, but and not even realizing that was going to have some effect down the road, because we tend to want to think of those things in terms of the grand historical. You know, it's easy to point at the likes of a Ronald Reagan, of an Abraham Lincoln, of a George Washington, because, you know, especially in retrospect, and those were big events. And a lot of times, even the people in that time understood the significance of the event just because of how big it was. But a lot of times, I think we get lost in it because we are small, or perceive ourselves to be small. And so we don't always see those moments.
Right.
Through my experience, it's always the little mundane tasks, you know, holding a door open for somebody, changing a tire, like you said, David.
Well, you don't realize, I mean, you look at artwork, I mean, just real works of art that are acclaimed now. Most of them, that piece of art was of no consequence while the artist was alive. He or she had no clue that they
were doing it to earn a paycheck.
Well, they were earning it to do a paycheck. They were doing it as a hobby. They were doing it because it's what they wanted to do. It was a side thing, whatever it may be. You know, I think of Michelangelo. You know, you think of,
Da Vinci,
Leonardo da Vinci,
Edvard Munch.
Yes. And most of those guys had no clue that their artwork was ever famous, because when they passed, it hung in their gallery. It might have hung in a gallery. It'd be like me painting something and it hanging in an office building in Springfield. Whoopty flippin' do. You know, I mean,
was it Van Gogh that would sell his stuff to pay his bar tab or something
right.
like that?
Yeah. Right.
Edvard Munch, there's interesting trivia. His famous painting, The Scream,
mm-hmm.
that was originally done. The original copy is on cardboard. Not on canvas, not on plaster or anything. Cardboard.
Nice.
Got who knows what it was part of at one time.
Right.
Shoebox, maybe?
Maybe. Well, I do know that there's a lot of opportunity that we have for, being able to find ourselves in opportune times. I mentioned, and I earlier, I want to tell this very quick story. Something as simple as we had a young man who, one of our interns, while we were in youth ministry, he lived with us for a short time. One of his friends came over. He comes into our room. The intern comes into our bedroom and knocks on the door. We were just watching TV, kind of a thing. And he's like, "Hey, I need you to call the ambulance." I'm like, "Okay, what's going on?" And he's like, "My friend is in here," and I knew his name, but he's like, "He's not breathing." So I'm like, "What?" And of course, I'm in a panic. I run in there. Sure enough, he ain't breathing. He's turned on blue. So I tell him, call 911, get on the phone. Yes, I'm one of those horrible people. I've had several different iterations of first aid training, CPR, all that. I know what to do. I was fresh back then. I'm not so much now. But I knew what to do. I didn't need 911 to walk me through, okay, now take your hand and put it. Shut up. Just get out of my way. Just send the ambulance. I'll take care of what I need to. And so sure enough, his airway was blocked. His heart was beating, but his airway was blocked. And so I had to do breaths, for him until the ambulance got there. So I'm sitting there doing the rescue breaths and, trying to keep everything going. I don't know what I know they've changed some of that now. So
yeah,
you don't take my stuff. This is back in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. So all that to say, got him to the hospital. Doctors checked him out. Doctor said, "If you wouldn't have done those rescue breaths, he wouldn't have survived." It's like, oh, okay. So, there's those opportunities. There's the jumping in and saving a kid who was swimming, ran out of energy, ran out of breath. And I watched him bob once, bob twice. I went, oh, he's going down. Jumping in the pool, pulling the kid out, getting him up onto the side of the pool, out of the water, up to the side. Lots of those moments where you go, I mean, those are specific moments though. They're not large, big, big picture. But I think to answer your big picture question for such a time as what, we got to look at this in God's time. God's time. I mean, our entire life, the entirety of our life from the day we're born to the day we leave this earth, is but a moment for God. And so our such a time as this, it could be our entire lifetime. We were placed here to be a bridge between something that God did once when to something God's going to do later. And we're the linchpin, or we're the link in the chain. And if we don't do our part, the other parts can't come later, or God has to send other people to do the job that he's asked you to do.
Right. Wasn't it in Esther in chapter 4 or 5? I was like, well, Mordecai was talking to Esther about confronting the king about this edict that Haman passed. about wiping out all the Jews.
Right.
And Mordecai said, well, Esther, if you don't, God will get someone else to, and you and your whole household will die.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, you know, just to agree.
Yes.
God always has someone there to get his will done.
Right.
Or,
you know. Well, guys, I think we'll leave it at this. And I think I want to leave us all with the question is exactly that question. What has God placed you here for such a time as this? Whether it's the immediate, what's he calling you to? What is he working you through? Or maybe it's a big picture thing. Where is God calling you to? He wants you to be a guy in construction, because he needs you to be out on that field, that job site. Because the men and women that are going to work there aren't going to hear Christ anywhere else, from anyone else, and he needs you there. You're not a preacher. You're not a teacher. You're just a construction person, and you're there doing the job. But that's where God's called you. Be content in that and work that. Of course, if you have questions or you wonder about how do I know where God's called me or if God's calling me to something, shoot us an email, give us a text, give us a call, a comment on either our YouTube channel or even here at our website. We would love to talk with you, share with you, give you some information on how to know what God's calling you to. But know that the three of us, Caleb, David, and myself, are here to help you be the man that God's called you to be. God bless you. Well, hey guys, you know, before we get out of here, I wanted to say one more quick thing. You know, we appreciate you listening on behalf of Caleb and David and myself. I want to say thanks for joining us every episode, and wanted to mention just a couple quick things for you. Number one, did you know that if you like the episodes, did you know that you can actually sponsor our episodes? You can go to anchor.fm/Christian Guys, all one word, and you can click the support this cast, and you know, maybe it's $1, $5, $10, I don't know, maybe something, but you can go there and help us keep up the equipment and the time that it takes to get all of these put together. Hope they're a blessing to you. Also, do you know that you can be part of the show? We want to give you an opportunity to speak into the show. So if you have a question, it can be on anything. There is not a topic that we won't talk about. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask, grab your smartphone, click on the voice memo, and record your question. Shoot us an email at podcast@christianguys.org. Shoot us that email with that attachment. We'll actually drop your audio right into the show, and then we'll answer your question, and you get to be part of the show. So we would love for you to do that. Hope you're looking forward to being part of it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.